We're starting a new teaching series today called Come and See. And the reason we wanted to talk about this topic, let me get this, I'm going to move this table over here so you can see the screen. The reason we wanted to talk a little bit about this topic today is because in the coming weeks, believe it or not, we're heading towards spring. I know. It didn't feel like it this morning. It was raining a bit. But we're heading towards our spring. And what we've seen is that's been a really good time to invite people to church, to share our story with people. And so what we want to do over these next few weeks is equip us as a church family to be able to share our faith and our story with others. That's the goal of these next few weeks, because I believe that we're going to see many more people who are far from God, who are in need of hope. We heard Blake's story today. People who are in a similar situation to him. And all it took was one person to come alongside him to come and start sowing seeds of faith into his heart that there's more for his life. And I think that there's some people in your lives and your stories who you know today that need a message of hope. That need some encouragement in their life, that need maybe a realignment to remind, maybe even you're here this morning and you got dragged along by a friend or, you know, someone else in your life. And maybe you're here because this is a moment of realignment for you to remind yourself that maybe for the first time or maybe to come back to God and say, man, maybe there's more for my life than what I've been living up to this point. And so as we talked about this series and this idea, we were looking as a team at this verse that I want to show you in Psalm 66, verse 5. And it says this, come and see what God has done, his awesome deeds for mankind. Come and see what God has done. And so we're calling this series, Come and See. And what we want to say to the people in our lives is, come and see, not our church, there's lots of churches. Come and see what the Lord has done in me. That's what we want to say, because he's done some things in our lives that are profound. And maybe you're in a moment today in your life where it's a challenging season of your life. It's a tricky season in your life. The beautiful thing about our stories is that when I look back over my life, I've seen that he's been faithful. Yeah. I've seen that he's been faithful there and at this point and at this point and at this point. And that what it does is it forms a testimony of God's goodness. In the Old Testament, the first part of the Bible, they would build altars to God to honor moments where he was faithful. Moments of breakthrough, moments of provision, moments of where God delivered his people. And our testimony is a collection of moments where we can look back and say, look what the Lord has done for me. Come and see what God has done in me. And so we want to equip you over these next few weeks to be able to share your story, to be able to share a testimony of God's goodness, because I'm convinced there's some good stuff in there. Let's just get on the same page. Or today's message, we're going to be talking about this idea of the power of your testimony. The power of your testimony. I want to share a little bit about that today. And so let's just get on the same page. When we're talking about testimony, this is what we're saying when it comes to testimony. A testimony is a spoken or written record of any of God's activities in our lives. A testimony is a spoken or written record of any of God's activities in our lives. If you're like me, just show of hands, if you didn't grow up in church, there's no stress at all. And if anything, you probably saved from a couple of things. But any of us grew up in church? Just show of hands. You grew up around church, in church. Okay. If you went to a youth group, maybe your youth group was like mine, Friday night, someone, one of the youth was like, you should share your testimony. And then they would stand up and mildly, awkwardly stand there going, so when I was three, you know, we start on this journey. It was great. And often, sometimes you'd have someone come in and share their testimony. And it was like someone sharing for like 10 minutes how hectic their lives were. And then at the end, 30 seconds of, yeah, and then I met Jesus. My life's good now. You're like, we need a bit more of the good stuff. Come on, like, help us out here. I was actually had a message from a friend just now, which was quite funny. He was saying, so his parents are pastors, and he was talking about how his brother at a youth camp one year was asked to share his testimony. And so friend in the room just laughed as I have included that in my message. So share his testimony. And so it's pastor's kid. And he'd had a pretty comfortable life. His life was good, not big dramas, but he wanted to spice it up a little bit. So he stood on the stage and said, yeah, so we basically had a really rough time of it at home. We don't have any food in the fridge, all this kind of stuff. And this is the pastor's kid. And everyone sat there like, why are you not feeding your kids, man? And this is like as they've just bought a nice new car, because they're doing fine, it's fine. And so it's like, why are you buying a nice new car and not feeding your kids? And it becomes the whole thing. But we can get all mixed up with this idea of testimony. But the Bible says there's actually real power in our testimony. There's real power in it. And I want to show you this verse from Revelation chapter 12. Revelation is this vision that one of the apostles, John, has had about heaven. And God showed him a whole bunch of things that are going to happen in heaven, what's going on. And so it says this, Revelation 12, verse 10. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God, the authority of his Messiah. For the accuser, this is the devil, the accuser of our brothers and sisters, who accuses them before God, our God, day and night, has been hurled down. And it says this. They triumphed, this is the people of God, they triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb. So that's by Jesus' sacrifice on the cross and by the word of their testimony. Amen. So the Bible says that we overcome our spiritual enemy, the devil, by the blood of Jesus and the word of our testimony. So the question then is, what is the word of your testimony? What is the word of your testimony? And to help us to start to answer that question, I want us to turn to a little bit later on in Revelation and look at a different thought real quick. So Revelation 19, John's vision continues. Revelation 19, verse 10, John is here, and this is talking to an angel is talking to him. It says, I fell at his feet to worship him, but he said to me, this is the angel, see that you do not do that. I am your fellow servant and of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. And then it says this, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So I'm gonna teach us a little bit. You ready to get some teaching this morning, church? Okay. So what is the testimony of Jesus? Let's start there. The testimony of Jesus is, we've already confirmed. So testimony is any written or spoken accounts of God activity in our life. And so the testimony of Jesus is the things that Jesus has done, firstly, in biblical history. So anything in your Bible, I was about to grab my Bible, I have a phone. Anything in my Bible here on my phone that Jesus is recorded, or in the Old Testament, we see Jesus everywhere as well. This is the testimony of Jesus. So when Jesus healed a sick person, that forms part of the testimony of Jesus. When Jesus raised the dead, that forms part of the testimony of Jesus. So many things in the scriptures. But then the testimony of Jesus also includes church history. So all the things that Jesus has done throughout the last 2,000 years in the history of the church forms as part of the testimony of Jesus. So, for example, I can think of certain revivals that have happened where people's lives have been transformed and society started to be changed as a result of a move of God. That forms part of the testimony of Jesus. Things that have happened throughout church history, the Reformation, different things, forms part of the testimony of Jesus. But here's what also forms part of the testimony of Jesus. When Blake has stood on the stage sharing his story today, that, yes, it's Blake's testimony, but it's much more the testimony of Jesus. Amen. So Jesus owns that before Blake does, because he is the one who healed and restored him. Amen. He's the one who set him free. He's the one who delivered. He's the one who healed. That's the testimony of Jesus. Amen. Is it Blake's? Yeah, but it's much more. It's Jesus's. Amen. The testimony of Jesus. If you have had a moment in your life where you have felt that God has in any way moved in your life, maybe you're here today because you know that at some point God saved you from something. Oftentimes it's from ourselves, right? that God saved me, that he restored me. Maybe he blessed you with a partner who's now your spouse. Maybe he provided children. I've got so many friends who doctors told them, there's no way, it's impossible for you to have children, who today have those children in their arms. That's the testimony of Jesus, that God's been doing a work. He's a healer. He's a restorer. That's the testimony of Jesus. So that's the first part. Let's just throw that verse back up from Revelation 19, Sam. It says, for the testimony of Jesus, what? Is the spirit of prophecy. Amen. So what does that mean? In other words, any of the testimony of Jesus, any of the things he's done before, the spirit of prophecy says that he will do it again. Amen. So the testimony of Jesus is a prophetic word. Prophecy is to speak into the future what hasn't been yet. So the testimony of Jesus, the things he's done, the ways he's healed, the ways he's restored, the ways he's brought life into us as the church throughout biblical history, all of those things form a prophetic word about what he'll do in the future. Amen. So let me say it this way. If you are feeling discouraged today, you form a part of the testimony of Jesus. So the things he's done, not just in your life, but throughout all of biblical history and all of Christian church history, is a prophetic word over your life. That's powerful. And so it is to say that if he's done it before, he'll do it again. That's the testimony of Jesus. Is the spirit of prophecy. If he's done it before, he'll do it again. That's the word that he has for us. That testimony is powerful because it's a prophetic word over your life. Let me say it this way, and I really felt God deposit this in my heart. Humans have stories, but Christians have a testimony. Amen. Humans, you don't have a testimony if you're not in Christ. Yeah. Because the reason why your testimony is powerful is not because of you. Yeah. It's not because, like, if I just share my story with someone, then there's no reason why they should believe it's for them as well. Yeah. That's just like a hopeful, yeah, this happened for me, hope it happens for you. But that's not what we're saying when we share our testimony. When I share the testimony of what God, because again, what is the word of my testimony? Revelation 12, overcome the blood of the Lamb. They overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. What is the word of my testimony? The word of my testimony is actually the testimony of Jesus. Catch that, because some of you missed it. Your testimony is not your story, it's his story. So the reason why there's power in your story is because you are a part of the testimony of Jesus. The reason there's power is because now, and again, my testimony, little power. His testimony is the spirit of prophecy. Amen. So when I stand and I start sharing my story about where I've been and what he's done in my life and where I'm going and what God has planned for me, I can do that in confidence because his testimony speaks to where I'm going. It speaks to something different. Like, why are we even talking about this in this context? And I'd encourage you to talk about your testimony in when you're gathered in your serve teams or in your community groups and when we're gathered as a church. Why is it powerful? I think it's powerful because of this. When you share your testimony, you are prophesying over others that he can do it for them too. That it's not just the word of this is my story. It's to say, when I stand here saying that God has done this for me, what I'm saying as well is that he can do it for you as well. Yeah. What I'm saying is that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So he can do it for you as well. I heard a pastor say this recently, and I just loved this thought when he was talking about why we share a testimony, a story. He said this, when you share a story in the room becomes pregnant with the possibility that he can do it again. When you share a story, when Blake stood here sharing a story today, some of you were there going, he can do it for me too. He can do it for me too. That's why we share our testimony. That's why we share our story. It's not because, let me build myself up. No. It's to point to the one who's done it before. And he can do it again. So there's something I want us to grasp today about the power of this. The power is not because it's your story, it's because you are a part of his story. Yeah. That every miracle he does in your life, yes, it forms your testimony. But here's the thing that as I was reading and studying for this, that just hit me. The testimony of Jesus is incomplete. I had to go. I was like, did it finish at the cross? But no, the testimony of Jesus continues on into the church. So until the day that Jesus comes back for us, the testimony of Jesus is incomplete. Because he continues to, the testimony of Jesus continues on through your life. But here's the thing about a testimony. We said earlier that a testimony is a spoken or written record of the God activities in our lives. If it is not spoken or written, it's not a testimony. Because the word testimony comes from the word to testify or to bear witness. It's actually, unless it's spoken, it's not a testimony. Yeah. It might be something that happened, but it becomes a testimony when it's spoken or written. And so let me say it this way. When you, this is amazing, Revelation 19, testimony of Jesus. When you share about what Jesus has done in your life, you, as a Christian here, sat in 2025, you are adding to the testimony of Jesus in Revelation 19. You're continuing on what God's done. And that's so powerful because, again, it speaks to others that if he's done it for me, he can do it for you too.
Amen.
That's why we're looking at this concept, because there's power in our testimony. There's power in the testimony of Jesus. So I talked earlier about how we're going to build up and mobilize ourselves, because it's great that we're sharing it in this context, but we also have a story that can bring life to others who are outside of the four walls of our church.
Yeah.
We have a story that of what Jesus wants to do in other people's lives who are not sat in the room today. Like, I remember when we launched our church here in Newlands in 2024, and I think, you know, there could have been a question of like, we're doing good. Why do we need to move over there? Why do we need to do all these things? Why do we need to upset the rhythm? Why do we need to pray for more people? And I'm sat here today going, the reason we had to do all that is because if we didn't do it, I don't know where Blake would be today. And I know that that's true for many others in this room as well. You know, sometimes we can have a discomfort with the idea of, man, are we trying to get more people again in the church? I want more stories. I want more testimonies like that. I want more people to experience the freedom we've experienced, the hope which we've found, the life that we've found. I want that for more people. That's why we want to mobilize us and prepare us and get us ready for what God has equipped, for what God has for us to do. So I want to just help us then to ask this question today. How do we share our testimony with those in our lives? How do we share our testimony with those in our lives? Because if there is such power in it, then we've got to figure out how to do it. Before I tell you, I heard a story from a pastor. I loved this story recently. I heard him, he was a church planter, and he went out for lunch with a new member of his church. And as they were going for lunch, this new member of the church saw a friend in the cafe they were in. And so he said to, they got up, they said hi to this friend. And the new member of the church turns to the church planter and he or to his friend. He says, hey, this is my preacher. This is my preacher. Like, nice. And so they kind of introduce themselves and they say hi. And then they sit back down and they have lunch again. And the church planter, the pastor says to him, why did you introduce me as your preacher? He's like, well, you're my preacher. You're my preacher. You know, you preach on Sundays. You go to hospitals on the week. Like, you pray for people. You're my preacher. And this pastor turned to him and he said, listen, if you join this church, here's what you need to understand. I'm not the preacher. You're the preacher. He said, the Bible says that I'm the equipper. You're the preacher. The Ephesians chapter 4 talks about this idea that those who are pastors are there to equip the saints for the good work that God has for us to do. So I want to start out this series, I guess, in this frame as we're talking about testimony, saying, if you're here, you call Freedom Church your church, you're a member of our church family, here's what I want you to know. I do not consider myself the preacher in Freedom Church. I think you're all the preachers. Because you're meant to be the ones who take a message of hope to the city around us. Now, I've got to do that in my personal life. It's not that I'm then abdicating my responsibilities to share the good news with my friends. But the idea is not that you all say, hey, come to my church and the preacher's going to preach. The idea is that you're all equipped to be able to take a message of hope to those around you, pray for those people, encourage those people, speak life into those people, so that by the time they get to church, they've already had so much from you encouraging them, bringing life to them, that they'll slip right into this space and go, oh yeah, it's like what they've been doing all along. Because the point of the church is not that we have big gatherings, it's that we have gatherings that send lots of people. We can't impact our city in the way we want to impact our city by trying to cram everyone into a room, especially at the moment when we're trying to fight to get back into our hall. We can't fit a lot more people in this space, hey? So how much more effective, like, you look at the book of Acts, Acts chapter 2, the disciples didn't experience Pentecost, experience the move of the Holy Spirit, and then everyone go, hey, everyone, come to the upper room. It's amazing in there. They said, what we've experienced here, we've got to take with us. So I want to encourage you. I believe that every week when we come together as a church, that we're ready and here to encounter God. The living God wants to meet with us, that there's something powerful in the word about, the Bible says, don't give up gathering together as the church. Like, keep meeting, keep gathering. God's here. I want you to know that today. If you're a guest, maybe you've been far from God for some time, we believe that the living God is with us right now. Yeah. Like, speaking, moving, restoring, like, he's here. But here's the amazing thing that the Bible says. He doesn't just stay here in a drama studio in San Susi Girls High School. We are those who are carriers. The Bible says we are temples of the Holy Spirit. So when we go in the power of God. So that's why we're going where we're going. I set up a question that I absolutely did not answer. So let me go back to the question. How do we share our testimony with those in our lives? And honestly, it's very simple. It's very simple. Here's how we do it. I was, but God did. I did something, but then God changed me. I suffered in a certain way, but God healed me. The point is, where were you before Jesus showed up? Tell them that, and then tell them what Jesus did when he showed up. Yeah. It's that simple. Yeah. That we share the God stories in our lives. And how does that work? It's when a friend is telling you about something they're going through that's challenging. You say, man, I was in that place. But God, he did something. He showed up and he changed me. I was pursuing, like, let me tell you, for me, I was a, like, chronic fear of failure. That's where I was, in a place of, like, debility. I didn't even realize it. I thought I had a lot of confidence. But what I didn't realize was that every decision I was making wasn't so that God, like, I had it in this this facade of, this is for God, I'm doing big faith things, I'm believing for God to move. But the reality was, I was so afraid to fail that I made decisions based out of the fear of failure and out of people pleasing. But God showed up in my life. He set me free and healed me. And now I stand here as someone who is healed and restored and at peace with God and at peace with others, not needing to prove myself. And let me tell you, if that's where you are today, then a seed of faith, just the possibility of God doing it again, just birthed in someone's heart. Because if he did it for me, he can do it for you. So many of us have got a testimony, a story of what God's done. And again, you may not be in the perfect place today. You may not have your life fully sorted. But let me tell you, you've got a testimony. If you've met Jesus at any point, you've got a testimony. And he can lead you into freedom. He can lead you into wholeness. I believe today that God wants to start to equip us as we go on this journey, start to equip us to be those who are going out with a message of hope for others. So even now, I'd just be encouraging you, think in your life, who are the people who need a message of hope from you? Who are those who you think, man, if I could just tell them about what God, I was here, but God. I believe that God wants to bring freedom to people in your life, but maybe even some of us in the room today. And that's really where I want to finish this out this morning. I believe that as I was praying for the message today, I felt God dropping in my heart this verse from Hebrews, the book of Hebrews chapter 12. And this message is a message, I think, for some of us today. The writer of Hebrews is talking about what happened for the people of God before they encountered Jesus, before Jesus came, and then what happened after Jesus came. So it says this, you have not come to a mountain that can be touched, that is burning with fire, to darkness, gloom, and storm, to a trumpet blast, or to such a voice speaking words that those who heard it begged that no further word would be spoken to them, because they could not bear what was commanded. If even an animal touches the mountain, it must be stoned to death. The sight was so terrifying that Moses said, I am trembling with fear. This was the encounters that they would have before Jesus showed up. And then Jesus showed up, and they say, but you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly. Do you know, by the way, when you give your life to Jesus, there are thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, celebrating. To the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven, you have come to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant. And this is the key bit that I felt God put in my heart for some people in the room today. And to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. Let me just focus in on that. To the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word. We can pull up that next slide there. We're talking today about testimony. A testimony is only a testimony if it's spoken. That a testimony it's to testify. And the powerful thing here is, it says the sprinkled blood of Jesus speaks a better word. I don't know what you're facing today as you come in to church this morning. I don't know where you're coming. Maybe you've been disconnected from church for some time. Maybe you've experienced some challenges in your journey. Maybe you were a part of church and you felt like you got hurt on that journey. I don't know what your story is. Maybe you've never had a relationship with God. You've never been connected to God. But here's the promise of the Bible today. The promise is this. Can we leave that, Sam, can we just leave that back up on the screen? This is the promise. That the sprinkled blood, that one drop of the blood of Jesus from the cross can set you free. Amen. Amen. That one drop of the sprinkled blood can come and break off chains of addiction that you've been fighting for years. That the sprinkled blood of Jesus comes, and what does it do? It speaks a better word. In other words, the blood of Jesus comes to assert its authority over your reality. That whatever your reality is today, the blood of Jesus comes to speak a better word, a better promise, that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy, that it speaks to your future and says, it's time to change. It's time to experience something different, something new, something of freedom in life. And I believe today that for some of us in the room, we're here because the blood of Jesus speaks a better word for you today. And what does that mean? It means peace with God. It means a fresh start, a new beginning. It means a better promise. And that Jesus wants to come and restore some things in us that have been stolen. That's the promise of the word of God for us today.